Okay, well, while we hang on and wait for the Mayor Pro Tem to get here and a couple other people, we'll go ahead and get started. So we'll call to order the Tuesday, August 15th meeting of the Carver Board of Aldermen. The first item are requests from visitors and speakers from the floor. Does anybody have any items that are not on tonight's agenda that they would like to bring forward? Nope. Okay. Any resolutions and proclamations? Jackie?
It's an announcement, which I guess can be seen in that
light.
Before we went on break, a member of our community from the newly annexed area came and was requesting town help for a project to help military people who are serving overseas in Afghanistan and Iraq, to help raise money to send over basic toiletries and necessities and to give them some support in their projects that are aimed towards helping the people. The town really didn't feel that as an entity we could participate in that. So I've had several conversations with her to see if I could help her in organizing the community. And one of the things that I'm going to be doing, and I haven't heard yet if she's going to be joining me, but she's supporting of it, I'm going to set up a little table on Saturday at the farmer's market and try to raise some money to help her ship these things over. I know the town has many mixed feelings about how we feel about the war, but we're all together in how we feel about the people who are over there in the military. So I will be there Saturday at one of those little tables in the free speech area from 8 to 11.
Cool.
I would appreciate anybody coming by to offer some support. Thank you.
Good for you. Anybody else? Anything else? Nope. In that case, we'll proceed with the consent agenda. Steve?
Okay. Item 1, approval of the minutes of the previous meetings of June 20th and June 27th. Item 2 is a request to cancel the September 12th and the 26th 2006 board meetings. Item 3 is a request to reset a public hearing on a land use ordinance text amendment to establish a concept plan review process. Item 4 is a request to approve a budget ordinance. Item 5, a resolution approving a memorandum of understanding for fiscal year 2006-2007 for legal services. Item 6 is a request to set a public hearing on a street closing request for St. Joseph CME Church's Frangelism in the Park event. Item 7 is a resolution approving the renewal of an agreement with Piedmont Biofuels. Item 8 is a request to set a public hearing on the voluntary annexation of the Claremont Architecturally Integrated Subdivision located at 1018 Homestead Road. Item 9, appointments to the Appearance Commission / Neighborhood Preservation District Commission. Item 10, appointments to the Environmental Advisory Board.
Move the items.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any questions? Hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Other matters, item number 1. Okay.
Item 1 is a conceptual plan for Chapel Hill's portion of the Morgan Creek Trail. On June 26th, the Chapel Hill Town Council referred the report of the Morgan Creek Trail Conceptual Plan Committee to the Town of Carrboro for review and comments. Bill Webster of the Chapel Hill Parks and Recreation Department will make a presentation, and staff recommends to the board that you adopt the resolution receiving the report and providing comments. And Bill?
Thank you for the opportunity to present this. This has been an interesting project. We've been working on this for many, many years. The council, the town council of Chapel Hill, appointed this committee back in 2002. And we went through a lengthy information gathering process, but the entire way that this project was conceptualized is that it was unlike most of our greenway projects, where we get a committee together, usually citizens and people from a variety of organizations that are impacted, we realized that this project was going to be heavily dependent on FEMA, basically regulations set by FEMA, that we knew there had to be numerous bridge crossings, And so what we tried to do is do a little bit different approach in this one. We decided we needed enough hard engineering data, if the committee was going to make a recommendation, that we knew we could support it. At the end of the day, if we took this to the council and to our advisory boards and all the agencies that were participating in this process, then we could say, we think this is the best concept, plus we know that the key bridges and retaining walls, anything that had to be built in or near the floodway, would actually work, and that we wouldn't be getting in the process later and have to change everything, which has happened in projects in the past, where we just didn't anticipate the impact of floodway regulations. Unfortunately and unfortunately, right in the middle of the process, the state decided they were going to basically remap and remodel all the streams in Chapel Hill. The schedule that was presented indicated that we would have that map information probably in 2003, 2004 at the latest, but we didn't get it until January 2006. So you may wonder why a committee that was formed in 2002 was just making its report this year, mainly because they basically were disbanded and were brought together again once that information was in place. The good news is that all of these, we believe that every single one of the bridge crossings that were suggested by the committee are permittable. The bad news is we know at least in one or two of those that we're probably going to have to do a LOMAR, which is a letter of map revision, and go through that lengthy and time-consuming process to make it happen. I'd like to kind of work. You can see this is the plan. It's not a great slide because it was a large piece of paper kind of condensed into a small area, but you can see the idea. There's the existing Greenway Trail that comes up through Southern Village, comes out to the intersection of Smith Level Road and 15501. One of the main goals of this that set by our town council was getting access, legal access to the Merrick's pasture. It's been an area that the town's owned for many years, but there is literally no legal access to it except for the 11 landowners who happen to own property adjacent to the pastures. The council's had a priority getting legal access to that pasture. The streams and the complexity of the streams and the way they work and the width of the floodplain has made this an extremely difficult task. The committee has recommended that we do an underpass underneath, it involves a bridge here, an underpass under Culberth Road, another bridge here, another bridge here, and it'll actually probably be up in here to get out of the floodway. And there's a huge oxbow in the, like a horseshoe bend in the stream, and right here it comes, I mean, literally right up to Fordham Boulevard. It's, you stand on the guardrail, you look down, it's almost a straight drop into the creek. So two bridges here, basically go through the pool deck, Kingswood Apartments, and we've talked with the university. They're all for it as long as we can do some things for them. And then right here, this part here is Carborough. And we found that we can pretty easily go underneath the Smith Level Road Bridge, lots of headroom, and the idea would be to then come through what's the public works place now. It's basically come back up and get to the sidewalk level here. One of the main benefits that the school folks have noted on this, is from, as far as they're concerned, they were really looking at this, a sidewalk connection to Berry Hill. Because they noted that this is not a walking community to the school, but if this sidewalk link and short Greenway section trail, at least to here, people could walk from Berry Hill to the school. So they were real excited about that idea. These are just details of those same sections. You can see the bridges, the underpass. There's an alternative here. We have talked to the Hillsong church folks about providing parking, because that's one of their main concerns. Well, where are people going to park? Because we do know people will come from other parts of town to use as a recreational amenity, because it will be one of the longest trails in town, probably for many, many years, because one of the longest paved trails. Because this trail will go all the way into the new Southern Community Park. We intend to extend it at least several thousand feet into the Southern Community Park next year. So it's already over a mile. It'll be easily a mile and a half. This will add another mile. So you can see it's getting quite a lot of length and serving lots of neighborhoods, many schools, business areas. And so we know that people are going to want to park, and also they want to get as close to the Merritt's pasture as possible. That'll be a heavy recreational use. We're hoping that we'll be able to work out some kind of an agreement with Hillsong so we can avoid building a parking lot. We know that if we do build a parking lot, this is the only place we found that would work. The downside is that DOT has told us they would want us to build an acceleration lane along Fordham Boulevard. And for that to occur, we would have to cut down many trees, put in lots of fill. It's just not a good situation, so we're trying to avoid it. So we're really hoping we can work out a deal with Hillsong. But it could be done. We've talked to the Kingswood apartment folks. They said they're willing to consider it as long as we're willing to do some things for them. Some fencing they may or may not use, but they want to have the ability to use it if they desire. We also, in order to keep the trail from being right on the edge of the bank, we would actually demolish part of their pool deck and probably rebuild it to the other side. And everybody seems to think that, including the Kingswood apartment folks, that's probably the best solution. And then we come here. We have a situation where we have it all works very, very nicely, except right in here, there's a steep slope, and it happens to be where the folks from the university section of Frank Porter Graham park their cars. So they said, well, sure, we'll cooperate as long as we don't lose any parking spaces. So we know that there are ways to do that, and we'll be working with them to try to relocate some parking spaces, because the only place the trail could go is right through about half a dozen parking spaces right now. And then we get here. So we know we can get down to this point. We can go under the bridge. We come up through here. It seems to us that it would work very well. The only alternative we've considered is to bridge somewhere in this vicinity, come to this side of the creek, where there's also plenty of headroom underneath the existing bridge. But many, many problems on this side. The topo, you can see the topo in here is severe. It would require lots of tree removal, probably the nicest trees on the entire site. It would be retaining walls, just all kinds of problems. Technically possible, but probably not desirable in any way, financially, environmentally, or anything else you can think of. But technically possible. What we're doing at this stage in the game is as it was mentioned before I started to talk, is that the council has asked for comments, recommendations, criticisms, basically anything that you would like to say about the plan, especially since you're a key partner in this. And this certainly would not work very well if we didn't have access to a public street on the west side of the trail. We could serve the apartments and the school, but access on the west side for the trail would just make this trail so much more usable, would make it a much more viable transportation element than simply ending it at the school or the apartments. We are going to the council on October 9th. We hope at that time that they will adopt this plan. And we would at that time like to get your comments, either favorable or unfavorable, anything that you would like to say about this. And we can then address it as part of our recommendations to the council. And if there's any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer.
Questions for Bill?
I'd just like to comment that I'm so excited about this plan. I'm really familiar with that stretch that you're talking about behind Kingswood to Frank Porter Graham, because when I was teaching at Frank Porter Graham, we did our stream testing along that area, and that is very tricky, and I totally support having it on the north side, because you're right, it would just be devastating to put it south side. So I think it's a great plan. Looks great.
Dan?
Steve, is there any action we need to take tonight on this?
Really, tonight would be just adopt a resolution receiving the report, and if you'd like to direct the staff to do any research and make any comments back and give you all another opportunity to perhaps discuss it more thoroughly and then give any comments back to Bill for his presentation to the Chapel Hill Town Council.
Jackie?
I would like to do that, to refer it to staff, and I also would like us to start thinking about how we make it a reality, make the little Carver piece a reality, what that would take, what monies are involved, what we need to do to make that happen. It's a pretty incredible opportunity for the citizens of Carver to pitch in that little bit and then have access to this amazing trail. And so I thank you for including us in that and for all the work that you and the committee have done on it for many, many years. I guess the trees have gotten bigger since you started on this.
Let me add that when I was talking with Lisa Stuckey earlier, she conveyed to me the many requests they get from parents in that area for school crossing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that would be a very big boon for the school system.
I've just got a couple real quick for Bill. Have you gotten as far in your planning as figuring out kind of what your phasing is going to be?
Well, the one thing that I'm, without having done a detailed engineering study at this point, this is still a conceptual plan. I can say, just based on my experience, that we, even with the dollars we've identified right now, we don't have enough money to build this whole project. I think that's pretty clear.
We'll make up the difference.
Would you start from like west going to east or east going to west?
Well, that will be. I thought about that.
Or you haven't just got.
I think our council and would have to get involved. But I think there's a number of ways to do it possible. I think one, a logical way would be to go east to west. But another way that could happen is to go east to west and west to east. Depending on the dollars, you could do this, and you could do this. I think a logical, let me see here, see if I can figure out how to go back. Let's see. I think one logical ending point, and let's just imagine that the dollars could take us to this bridge.
Up to the bridges, right?
Well, this is the one place we can access all of South Bridge neighborhood. Plus the new neighborhoods here. They would have then direct access to the trail, even if we couldn't afford this and rebuilding the pool here. But, ideally, we would have the money to do that, plus this little connection just to get you guys to the school. I think you would have to make it really work, you would have to build the sidewalk. I don't think it's going to work without that sidewalk.
For that, yeah. I think it'll be useful to hear back from Dale as well in that we have for several years foregoing PL funds identified out of SDPDA for planning in the essentially the Carver section, which goes on and off the map. So we'll probably want to coordinate those funding efforts through the as we go through the MPO. I haven't looked at it in a while, and so for all I know, they may be phased so that they work together. But, so it'd be useful to hear from Dale, and, of course, Randy's got an initiative going to try to kind of move that forward and formalize that process.
Actually, it's we set the date, October 28th, Greenway Summit at the Century Center. So we'll be talking more.
That'd be great. I got one of the other things I was thinking of, too. It would make me a developer, and we'd have to learn about Carborough's development process, too, because if we were doing work in that area.
Oh, just for that little,
So it had an interesting twist to it.
Cool. Anybody got any more questions for Bill?
Mm-hmm.
No? Great. Thank you very much for that. Did folks have any questions for staff? No? Okay. Is there a movement on the motion on the resolution?
Move the resolution.
And with asking staff to please do some operationalizing of it.
Great. Anything else? Nope.
That's it.
Been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Item number two.
Item two is a proposed audit settlement with Time Warner Cable tied to future franchise compliance. The town would like to complete some negotiations with Time Warner Cable with regard to the audit of the years 2002 through 2005. There were a number of questions that needed to be resolved, and town staff believes we've reached an acceptable settlement proposal, which includes payment uncovered in the audit as well as an improved compliance with the franchise agreement. Be glad to respond to questions, but basically in the audit, our auditors discovered a number of areas where they felt like Time Warner owed us additional funding. Drew and I had several meetings with representatives from Time Warner and finally reached agreement to recommend to the board a settlement of $2,500 in exchange for them agreeing to give us their customer list for us to be able to review and to not tie our hands as to who we might share that customer list with. They originally wanted to be able to restrict us from sharing it with the firm that audited them, and we said, you know, our franchise agreement doesn't call for that kind of restriction, and we wouldn't be amenable to that. So, but with that understanding, we would recommend settlement that they've offered, and we think it's a fair settlement, and we'll get some compliance that we haven't had in the past.
Questions for staff, and Mayor Pro Tem has arrived, so it's all yours.
So, Steve, just to be clear, have they agreed to that point?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay.
Move the resolution.
Second.
All those in any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, it passes unanimously.
Very good.
Jump in there.
Item number three.
Okay. Item three is a proposal for a Volunteer of the Year Award. This is for the Board of Aldermen to consider establishing a Volunteer of the Year Award to highlight the civic community contributions of a particularly generous and active citizen or a group of citizens in the town of Carrboro. You all recall that Jay Bryan had presented this to the board back last spring. Drew Cummings in my office has prepared a resolution for you all to consider, which lays out the process of how the nominations might be taken and includes a recognition at our annual dinner, which recognizes our members of boards and commissions.
Very cool.
Nice. Very nice.
Any questions from the board?
Yeah, I have a question, Steve. Because there's no mention in the resolution of, you know, we're going to honor the prize winners, but we don't yet identify what the prize would be. And I'm wondering if you think it might be appropriate to ask James Harris to solicit among our many fine restaurants if they might donate a gift certificate, kind of rotating among them over the years for that purpose. Okay.
Nice.
Then I'll move the resolution adding that
second
item.
Very nice.
Any further discussion? Comment from the public? There being none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, it passes unanimously. Any matters by the town clerk? Town manager?
Just one quick item, if I may. Just to give you all an update that we shared with members of the New Horizons task force last night on the Homestead Road project. Chuck Edwards was with us at the meeting last night, and state DOT crews should be starting some work with their in-house crews this week with moving forward on turn lanes and the traffic signal and installing as much of the sidewalks as utilities will allow between High School Road and Camden Lane. The balance of the project that can't get done this fall, they plan to rebid, and the remaining work would likely be done next spring and summer. That's a quick version, Dan or Randy, if I left anything out.
Yeah, let me add that Chuck explained in some detail and clarity the way there's both public service utilities and Duke Power utilities in the section between High School Road and Rogers Road, and so it'll take some time to move those, and that's kind of what's hung up the bidding on the whole project. And so he's just expecting that will be done in time to get a more reasonable set of bids on that portion of the project next spring.
Just to add that, and bearing that information in mind that's just come to light, we've asked the Homestead High School Road Task Force to get back together, and there are still some outstanding issues to be dealt with in terms of student safety while the work gets done. But bearing again, bearing in mind this information that we got from Chuck, that the group can probably get together and work out some temporary solutions to deal with that. I know that Dan and I have both had conversations with Lisa about that, and so the email just went out today, and hopefully Karen will put that together quickly. Maybe if Dale can follow up when he gets back, that would be good, too.
That's it from me.
Matters by the town attorney?
Yeah.
Matters by board members?
I have three. First is the question of the roundabout at the high school, which is kind of like it's 11:59 p.m., and if we want to see anything happen there, we would need to act now. And I've had several conversations over the last week with Lisa Stuckey and with the members of our transportation board who are taking a lead on this, most recently this afternoon, both with Lisa and with Tom High. And Lisa expressed to me that they are still interested, potentially, but they're very much hung up on the point that the DOT made in their memorandum that when the high school increases to 1,200 students, that a roundabout would not be sufficient or would not be adequate for the traffic. And she informed me that their plan calls for that expansion in the 2014-2015 year. I don't know if plan might be too strong a word, but their sense of when that might happen. So that's relatively soon. And they're also concerned about the cost being within budget and also that the time frame allows it to be done. We also received the memorandum last week from Heidi Perov, the chair of the Transportation Advisory Board, disputing or actually referring to Dale's observations that disagree with some of the interpretations of the Department of Transportation, and so that their traffic counts may be overstated. So anyway, the idea I want to float is that basically if we can get a quick take over the next, say, week or so from staff on can we pursue resolving those three questions with the participation of the school board, my suggestion is that we have a actual face-to-face that might involve Dale, someone from this board, someone from the T board, someone from the school board, and one or two people from school staff, and, you know, kind of hash it out and, you know, decide, you know, given the little time remaining, can we get this done, or do we, you know, have to give up on that possibility for this project? But I feel like if there's any chance of anything happening, we need to take an action tonight to initiate it. The school board is interested, but their interest is on the, I would say, on the, characterize it as on the passive side. And so, you know, I feel like the T board made a very strong presentation on the benefits of the roundabout. And so
I think the school board needs to know how interested we are in pursuing the question and the viability of a roundabout there.
I agree with that. I would just only offer the caution, as Dan said, it's 11:59:59. And so as part of that discussion, I think we just need to have a realistic assessment of what the school system needs in terms of its ability to move forward, and that we need to understand from them and frankly what could upset the apple cart in terms of getting this school online. If there were delays involved, then we actually run into some potential caps problems moving forward, which I think Dan alluded to. So we just need to understand that as sort of the context in which we're working. I think it's a great idea from a planning perspective. We've just got a real timing issue here.
I trust the board, the school board, to...
Yeah, they'll let us know.
They'll let us know.
But, you know, if Neil says...
Well, I think we agree. You know, yeah, I think right. We all want to see that school open on time. You know,
right.
And don't want to jeopardize that, so...
I don't know what the timing might be for this suggested meeting, but I just mentioned that Dale McKeel is out of the office
the rest of the week, so we don't have a transportation planner here right now.
Well, the school board is meeting next on September 7th. So if it were possible that, you know, whoever on our side was going to participate on that could have a preliminary discussion early next week and then try to schedule a meeting with them for prior to the 7th, which I guess is the Thursday of that week. So that gives us, you know, 4 full days to try and work that in, including Labor Day. That's how I could see it possibly happening.
Well, you know, there's no hurt in trying. Tom, do you want to say anything? You sit over there, you kind of, you know, your body language says, no, I don't want to say anything, but if you don't, you don't have to.
No, I'm full and enthusiastic about the effort to meet with the school officials because I think that's, I think we should have done that a long time ago, and I think that's the only way we're going to really find out what the deal is without it being a case of, oh, time's up, it's too late. So I'm
okay. Jack, you hadn't said anything, so I thought I'd ask for input.
No, I just find it sad that, you know, the school's saying that because the population of the school is going to increase in another 10 years, that they don't think they can handle it. And it just once again reminds me that as long as we keep planning as if people's transportation habits aren't going to change, then people's transportation habits aren't going to change.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, I think, do you have clear direction from the board that to see if we can try to set up a meeting with some members of the board and staff early next week? Is that?
I would like to understand who's going to be responsible for setting that meeting up so that I don't assume we're doing it and somebody else is doing it and nobody does it.
Okay. So would that be staff to call or? Would it be you to call or?
Oh, I'd be willing to do it, except that I'm going to be out of town tomorrow through Tuesday.
Okay.
So, you know, in fact, if, you know, if someone else among you all.
Yeah, well, since we got the phone tree going, yeah. Do you want me to just call Lisa back and see if we can get the ball rolling?
Yeah.
Okay. So Alex will call the chair and be responsible. Then you'll call Steve and let him know. And
how do you want to do it, guys?
Or email them, whichever one you want.
Just if you would go through me, let me know what's going on.
You kind of started this off, Dan. What's your preference for how to?
What's the question?
Just procedurally.
Yeah, well, we need to set up a meeting next week, I think, for Dale, Tom, you and me.
Okay.
So
okay.
Alex is going to set that meeting up?
I'll try.
Okay.
All right.
And you'll talk to Lisa about a meeting for the following.
Oh, okay. See, that's what I was trying to understand.
Yeah, before the 7th.
Gotcha.
And okay. Could we all kind of get an email letting us know, like, when that meeting is so that if we are free, we can go be flies on the wall?
But you also know that we have to abide by the open meetings.
What's the drop dead date for the 2nd one that you want?
7th.
Okay.
You had 2 more items.
The next two are much smaller. I just pulled out of my file this request from 114 Smith Level Road neighbors that they brought in June on. They're asking for a task force, but they identify a number of issues. And I just want to ask if, Steve, if there's a time frame in terms of when something is coming
back.
It's
on our calendar of agenda items for next month, Sarah, I believe.
September 5th.
We've got a report coming September 5th.
Okay.
Great. And my last item has to do with a piece of mail I received, which goes like this. Which is an invitation from Chancellor Meeser and Susan to attend the all-important North Carolina Rutgers football game. And I want to talk about this now just because I think given the political climate in the state and nationally, it's important to talk about our code of ethics, which most people probably don't even know we have, and maybe we forget we have. But I wrote to the chancellor and told him that our code of ethics would not allow me to attend this because it says, quote, It is the obligation of every elected official to refuse personal gifts, favors, or special privileges in every instance where such elected official reasonably believes such gift, favor, or special privilege would not have been extended but for the position of such elected official. And I know very objectively, never having been invited to the Chancellor's box before and now this year, you know, it's clear that that's what it's about. And but I want to read two paragraphs from my letter to the Chancellor, because I think I'm trying to convey something about, you know, ethics and government that I think that we've got right in Carrboro. And I wrote to him that it's important to note that our ethical code does not require any judgment of either the giver's intention or my own in regard to the gift. It makes no mention of the nature or value or the gift or who the giver might be. Given recent ethics scandals in Washington and Raleigh, I appreciate the protection this code provides to me as a public official and to you, speaking to the Chancellor, as a leader of a key state agency with whom the town is constructively engaged. So I don't want to belabor this. I don't think it's a big point, but I want to take the opportunity just to let that be known for whoever's paying attention that we do have that, and I think we're very fortunate that we have a strict code and wish the folks in Raleigh had gone a little further this summer. But anyway, that's all.
I helped with that, and but I will be going to the football game, and we'll talk about it over coffee at Weaver Street someday. But my concern is, I was writing into the meeting, and I was listening to NPR. Although I really respect your reasons for not going. I understand that. I was listening to NPR, and they were interviewing a public works guy from some town in New Jersey who said that the cost of asphalt has gone up 40% during the spring and summer, and they're having to cut back on road repairs. And it got me thinking, there must be some impact on the rising cost of oil and petroleum-based products on our budget. Are we seeing that yet? Is it affecting us yet?
Well, in terms of fuel cost, you'll recall both last year and this year we put a contingency in specifically for fuel. Prices have not gone up significantly yet, and I think we're still within our budgeted amount without touching that. I think we got good prices on our sidewalk program for the first round. I won't be at all surprised, and George, feel free to jump in if we don't see some impact with the next round of sidewalks that we do and perhaps in future resurfacings. But I think so far we've been able to stay within budget.
How about road resurfacing?
George?
Are we doing any road resurfacing at the moment?
Oh.
I know we're on this constant cycle of road resurfacing, yeah. And I was just curious. I don't need to make a big thing of it. I just want to be kept abreast if we're going to need to do any kind of adjustments.
Well, prices have definitely gone up, but we, in the budget process this spring, we anticipated some of that.
As high as it's gone? Very good.
Well, I can't say that.
You
no,
need
I can't.
A job on Wall Street.
We did anticipate some level of increase.
Okay. Thank you.
Did anyone else have anything?
Just real quick.
Yeah.
Sure. Now, back to less sexy and more prosaic stuff. Mulch piles, fun with mulch.
Yeah.
Just want to recognize for folks who've raised concerns about it that the staff sent out a memo that you're working on an ordinance to deal with that on a more continuing basis. And Travis and Fire Department have done a great job on an ad hoc basis, but obviously we need to do something about it. So I appreciate Steve working on that.
We'll be bringing something to you shortly. I mean, we have a number of things already in place. And a couple of unfortunate events in the late winter, early spring that are very unusual, but nevertheless,
live and learn.
We will be bringing some additional ordinance language to you all that will provide some additional enforcement opportunities if necessary.
Thanks for anticipating that. Getting in front of it.
I
I just wanted to remind folks that tomorrow morning at 10:30 is the pedicab, I guess it's the ribbon cutting ceremony, and it takes place,
Carolina Ann.
Yeah, that's right. That's where it's being held, and to get out and support the carbon reduction pedicabs that the Surge folks at UNC put together. It's a great program. You might have seen the practice runs through town.
In addition to the fact that it's just cool as all get out.
Isn't it?
I mean, those guys have been all over the place.
Are there anything else?
Motion to adjourn.
To make it home in time for
is there a second?
Second.
Report.
Yeah. All in favor?
All in favor.
All opposed? Bye.